got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Now, here are the nerds.
That is a very, very, very depressing song, and never listen to it after a breakup or after something sad happens. It's a great song, but God, what a downer. You're listening to The Nerd Show from the Aloe Fiber Studios on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, and that's right, I am all by my lonesome. My name is Micah Kilpatrick, a.k.a.
Darth Ambivalous.
And I'm all by myself. So I'm going to start off talking about Secret Invasion, the latest Marvel series. And I have to admit, it is, it's kind of like that song. It's a bit of a downer. Not downer as in, like, really depressing. It's just kind of a downer as in not really that good. I'm kind of disappointed in it. It's basically the same plot as a show that we saw earlier, the Captain America and Winter Soldier, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There we go. Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's that same exact plot. You have the Skrulls, much like people who died, who came back from the blip. So the Skrulls, they are refugees, and they were promised a brand new planet. They were promised a planet for their own, but unfortunately, things keep coming up, and they can't get a planet. And so they feel betrayed. They feel like, oh, Nick Fury has betrayed us. Captain Marvel has betrayed us. They have not. They've not done their duty that they promised. So guess what? We're going to blow up planet Earth or whatever. We're going to cause a bunch of terrorist acts, which is what they do when we first see them in episode one. Terrorist acts are happening, and you know they're trying to get human beings to fight each other. So that's how they're going to do it, and they're going to, I guess, cause nuclear explosions or something so that all the humans die, and because they're impervious or something to nuclear waste or whatever, they're gonna survive. I don't know. It's not horrible, but it's kind of lame. I would say right now there are three episodes. It's a total of six, and it revolves around Nick Fury. So Nick Fury has come back from the Skrull spaceship, which is where he was for 5 years after he came back from the blip and was depressed and unconsolable and was called back to Earth. So now he's come back to Earth, and he's found out that basically he's not good at his job anymore. No one wants him at his job anymore. As a matter of fact, he's been fired. Rhodey shows up in episode two to fire him. Now, we don't, since this is the Skrulls and they can shapeshift, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
There we go. So everybody's being shapeshifted. So maybe Rhodey is a shapeshifter. I don't know. I think it's the real Rhodey firing Sam Jackson, Nick Fury, for sucking at his job and just disappearing for 5 years and not being useful and kind of allowing the Skrulls to get more and more angry and wanting to. But nobody knows this because the Skrulls have the main Skrull guy. Who is he? Gravik. So Gravik has riled up all the angry Skrulls and, you know, we're going to get together. It's like that the redhead from Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So he's basically her only alien and not a redhead. It's the same plot, only you don't have the crazy blonde aspect of the new Captain America. Which I actually kind of liked that, the crazy Captain America. I want this power, but I don't have the, you know, I have too much of an ego for this power, and I have too much of a brutal, too many brutal governmental tactics, police tactics. I liked that aspect. This, there's not much to like in this. It's unfortunate. They kill a character in the first episode, and you're like, oh, I wonder if this is going to make me care about it. And it just doesn't. It has Olivia Colman. She's, you know, great as usual. But Emilia Clarke she plays her normal character. She doesn't do anything extra special. But I don't. This is basically Marvel Phase 4 being Marvel Phase 4. I don't want to badmouth it too much because there are some positives to it. Ben Mendelsohn is great as usual. But Marvel's Phase 4 is really boring and there's not much positive about it. I mean, Black Panther, when it was one of the highlights, and Black Panther was good, not great. I think we're seeing superhero fatigue. This is something that we heard about years ago, and years later, here we have superhero fatigue, and Marvel's not putting out its best work for whatever reason. Maybe, well, the Russos have certainly moved on. The Russos have moved on and made a successful movie. I believe it's The Gray Man. I think that was written by them. I saw that recently. That was pretty good. They've moved on, and the stuff that they did for the MCU was great. You don't really have anything that pops. You don't have anything that, you know, builds really great characters. You haven't had a really great bad guy. Everything's just kind of the same plot, regurgitating this, regurgitating that. This isn't a superhero thing. It's more along the lines of Captain America, Winter Soldier, where it's just like an action movie as opposed to a superhero movie, TV show, actually. But I'm 3 episodes in out of 6, and there's nothing special about it. Music's okay. The acting is there, except Ben Mendelsohn's great as usual, and I don't know. I'm not too excited about this. And I was afraid I wasn't going to be very excited about this. They didn't really promote it, at least from the media that I watch. I didn't see too much promotion, so I was kind of worried about that. That they weren't promoting it, that maybe they realized it was kind of a dud and they're saving their money for something else. And Marvel's going through all kinds of controversy now that Jonathan Majors has been charged with assault, and that's a pretty big charge. So he's no longer going to be the big baddie in the next few movies. And Avengers 4 and 5 have both been postponed. For how long, I'm not sure, but they've both been postponed because they're going to have to replace him. I don't know how they're going to do that. They might have to do some reshoots, but this does not bode well for the MCU. Right now, their series is a dud. They used to be the strength of Disney's work. I mean, you always had the Pixar stuff, and Pixar has always been good. They'd have a few misses, but they'd have a bunch of hits. But Marvel used to be the big moneymaker, and now you're starting to see Marvel kind of peter out, and we're in Phase 4. What's Phase 5 going to look like now that a lot of our favorite characters are gone? And you've got the retirement of Thor. that actor is retiring pretty soon. Is he going to be in any of the movies? I don't know. This does not bode well for Marvel, and I'm kind of worried about that. I'm kind of worried about superhero fatigue, because I definitely feel it. I feel superhero fatigue. So I don't know. The series could always turn around. It could turn around very quickly, but so far it's just kind of meh, indicative of Marvel Phase 4. But Marvel Phase 5 could blow us out of the water. You never know. Star Wars has been doing pretty well. So it's not like our nerd world has gone into the crapper. We still have some good stuff, and we have Star Trek. Coming up next, let us talk about Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 2 after this on 103.1 and 1310 KFK. This is the Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Micah Kilpatrick, a.k.a. Darth Ambivalus, all by his lonesome at this time. Talking about a show that I really like right now, Strange New Worlds. And this is a Star Trek franchise. Season 2, we're through 3 episodes of Season 2. And I got to check and see how many episodes there are. I believe there are 10 episodes. So far, it's not nearly as good as Season 1. And I think it's tough to be as good as Season 1. Like, Season 1 was fantastic. Season 1 was, I would say it is, at least for me, the third best Star Trek series. You have Star Trek The Next Generation. Of course, I started watching that when I was six or seven, something like that. And then you have the original series, which is number 2 in my mind. You could flip the two, see which you feel. It depends on personal preference. A lot of people love Deep Space Nine. That was not my favorite. But this Strange New Worlds is more along the lines of the first two series, and I really like it. It's one of those shows that, unlike Discovery, it does have its left-leaning messages. But unlike Discovery, it doesn't talk down to you. And Star Trek shouldn't be talking down to people. The Next Generation almost never talked down to people. There were a few episodes where they got a little smug. A lot of that wasn't. There were some Season 2 episodes. I remember Commander Riker saying, "We don't eat animals and cage them anymore." And that's, come on, don't be smug. But Strange New Worlds doesn't do this. Discovery did. Discovery was very preach to the choir, and that turned a lot of people off. Strange New Worlds is not, and I think that's, and if you think it is, you need to reevaluate yourself. Just take it, just calm down, because it's you who is wrong. Star Trek Strange New Worlds is not talking down to you, it is talking to you. It is not preaching at you, it is speaking to you. Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, it is more along the lines of The Next Generation and the original series, which could speak to everybody. It had its controversial moments, both series, but it was good for people of all political points of view to watch. And that's what Star Trek should be. It shouldn't be like Discovery first few seasons, where it was like cringily left-leaning and talking to only, it, like bragging, patting itself on the back because it believes a certain way. No, that's not Star Trek. That's bad writing. Anyway, Strange New Worlds, I did really like the first season. The second season, boy, it's dropped quite a bit. The first episode, The Broken Circle. So we left off Lieutenant Noonien Singh. She's received a distress signal, and she realizes that there are some shenanigans going down. There's a secret conspiracy to destroy the Federation, and so, in what I don't like, the crew of the Enterprise decides to steal the Enterprise because Pike is not there. He has left the Enterprise to go save his number one, who has been, from the last season, she was arrested for being, you know, herself. But that's episode two. So they go, they stop the conspiracy, they save the world, they save the Federation, and it's very, very punchy. And if there's one thing I don't like about some Star Trek episodes, is I don't like it when it gets too punchy, where it gets to, we're going to solve our problems by fighting. Sometimes, yeah, I can understand it. You do need that action, but this was a little too action. You have the doctor and Nurse Chapel drink some kind of, and I don't remember them having this magic elixir, but they drank a magic elixir and became super powerful and started beating people up. And that was really ridiculous and kind of dumb. And also, stealing the Enterprise was, like, the only good thing from Star Trek III. There were a couple other things from Star Trek III that were good. But it was the best part of Star Trek III, and they just kind of stole that. And that turned me off. So this wasn't a very good episode. The next episode was actually a really, really good Star Trek episode. So when Commander Chin Riley has been arrested for being herself, because she is, she's been genetically altered. That is her race. They are genetically altered people. And Khan led, back in the 90s, led a group of genetically altered people trying to take over the world. He was stopped. But ever since then, the Federation has banned genetically altered people. And she lied on her application to Starfleet. And she gets outed, so she's been arrested. Now they're offering her, you know, basically a sweetheart deal, but she can't be in Starfleet anymore. So she basically gets off with a little more than a slap on a wrist. She gets kicked out of Starfleet, and she can't be in Starfleet anymore. But she doesn't want to do that. She wants to be in Starfleet. That was her life's goal. So basically, kind of the plot of Star Trek The Next Generation's Measure of a Man, where you had Data put on trial. Is Data a machine or is Data a man? It was kind of the same thing. Does she have the rights of a Federation officer, or do we worry about too much about her the breaking the rules, which are unjust rules? They're, you know, bigoted, worrying rules about, you know, you're worrying about these people who did something a long, long time ago, and you're not worrying about these people nowadays who haven't done a damn thing. The genetically altered people haven't done a damn thing. They're from a planet. None of them were a part of the rebellion, the attempted takeover, and yet they're being persecuted. So, I'm not going to say spoiler alert. She does get off on this, and she's allowed to come back to the Enterprise. And this is a good Star Trek episode. I liked it. It was a good one. The third one, my problem with this is, once again, oh, gosh, time travel. We must rely on time travel once again. Have to go back into the past to stop a terrorist attack, and it's really dumb. Noonien Singh, she somehow she gets this communicator, this piece of machine. I don't know what it was, this piece of technology that allows her to protect herself from the timeline changing. And she realizes, oh, crap, the timeline has changed when she walks onto the bridge and Kirk is the captain. And he stupidly somehow transports the two of them back to, you know, our time, where a terrorist attack is going to happen in Canada. And another stupid thing that happened is she started falling in love with him and he's starting to fall in love with her. And I don't need that. I don't need another love story. We already have another dumb love story with Kirk and Nurse Chapel, which it's awkward whenever you're giving Spock and Nurse Chapel. Those are always awkward, the Spock ones. They didn't do that right in the J.J. Abrams verse. But overall, the episode was kind of dumb. The Romulans were behind it, and of course, they solved the problem. They defeated the Romulans, got back to a normal time, and then the time police showed up and said, oh, great job, you saved the world and time and stuff, and give us our piece of technology back in the end. And she's sad that Kirk doesn't love her and that timeline is no longer there, but she's still in love with him and they're going to do something with that, and it's kind of dumb, and I don't much care for that. I don't much care for stupid love stories, but I'll say this, it's better than Rafi and Seven, because they actually were setting this up, whereas Rafi and Seven, they just kind of were like, oh, hey, let's hold hands. Like that, they didn't set that up at all. You got to set it up for me to care about it. If you want me to care about it, set it up and give them chemistry. They are at least setting it up. So they're trying to do it, and they're trying to do it right. I just don't want them to mess it up. I don't want any more dumb love stories. Make it good. Make it a good love story, and I'll start caring about it. You make it a dumb love story, I'm going to get angry. Anyway, I'm going to get off my high horse. Back to the Nerd Show after this. Welcome back to the Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK. I am sitting in the Aloe Fiber Studios. So, I know you're saying, Micah, why are you being such a negative Nancy? Or a negative nincompoop, or whatever you want to call me. That's fine. I'm going to turn it around. And I'm going to talk about something that Darth Monger turned me on to. The Expanse. Now, The Expanse, I believe, has 6 seasons. I don't know if season 6 has come out. I haven't done too much research into it. I've just been following episode by episode, and I am ecstatic. I did not expect this show to be as good as it is. Like we do have season 6. Season 6 it came out in 2022, so we do have 6 seasons. This has been shockingly good for a show that I didn't recognize most of the characters, the actors. I did not recognize most of them. I recognized 3 of them. There's a gal from I don't know what country. Her English is terrible. She's a great actress, but her English is terrible. So she sounds like a bad actress, but she's actually pretty good. And I'm not going to try to pronounce her name. She plays Christian Avasaralala. I haven't seen it in a few weeks. Sorry. I got through 2.5 seasons. I'm in the middle of the 3rd episode. So I'm going to, after this, sorry, 3rd season. Middle of the 3rd season. After this, I'm going to continue to follow it because third season so far, holy crap. It's like every episode has ended with an excellent cliffhanger, and I couldn't stop watching. I also recognize, so Thomas Jane, if you don't know him, he was in the 1990s Punisher. I think that was in the 90s. Not very good. Terrible movie, but lots of fun to watch. And also Chad L. Coleman is in it, and he was in The Walking Dead and also showed up a few times in The Orville. So I recognized three actors. And this is proof that you don't need, like, headline-making actors to make a good show, because this is a very, very well-written show. It's a show where you care about the characters. It's a show where you are rooting for – you're really rooting for both sides. So the plot of the whole thing is it takes place in the future. Earth and a colonized Mars are always on the brink of war, and the so-called belters, they're people working at on the asteroid belt, are caught in the middle. So they're working on the asteroid belt, getting ice for a very polluted Earth and a resource-lacking Mars. They're always caught in the middle. They always feel disrespected. They're always like... they're always, you know, out to get us. They hate us, you know. So there's that aspect. And then you enter in a mysterious element of unknown origin that can change people's DNA. So enter that and you get just a bunch of chaos. So from the very first episode, now you do get some introduction to this, but the more the season goes on, the more the alien element is introduced. And it just gets more and more diabolical, more and more tense. I'm on the edge of my seat every episode. There's not a bad episode. You know, in Stranger Things, you have your bad episodes, even though it's not episodic. In Star Trek The Next Generation, you have your bad episodes, and it is episodic. A lot of shows, you're going to have a bad episode. I am through two seasons and six episodes. There has not been a bad episode. You have politicians backstabbing each other. You have a guy trying to, you know, create weapons to make money. He's trying to start a war between people. You have belters who feel upset that they're getting screwed over, and the politics amongst the belters. This is a really good show, and it feels kind of low budget. I think they paid a lot for it. I believe it originally started on the Sci-Fi Channel, and then Amazon. This is what Monger told me. And then Amazon bought it out. So now you can get all the seasons on Amazon, which is how I'm watching it. But this, it in a way, it kind of feels low budget, but it doesn't look low budget. It doesn't sound low budget. And the acting doesn't feel low budget. I know it doesn't quite make sense what I said. I don't know. It just in a way it has that low budget feel. But it's just not. I think they spent a lot of money on this. That, or if it was low budget, they got some good deals. This is Micah approved. I think this is something that people need to watch. This is a hidden gem. I'd never heard about this. You know, you get a lot of shows that have big buzz, and this is a show that deserves big buzz. It's based off of a book. Don't know who wrote the book. Not going to read the book. I'd rather watch the show. But this deserves big buzz. This deserves a lot of eyes on it because it is so entertaining. Like I said earlier, not a bad episode. And the acting is great. I'd never heard of Stephen Strait before. Never heard of the guy. He's great, Dominic Tipper. I thought, like, I'm like, who are these people? She's great. I want to see more of these people and more of their shows and movies because their characters are wonderful and they are great. And the stuff that they have to do, the story arc from going to season one all the way to halfway through season three is remarkable. The journey that they have made. It's an incredible journey. They've gone through a lot. And it's not like it's not an unbelievable journey either. It's not like, oh, they're always escaping and I can't believe that they escaped. This is a believable story. This could in the future maybe actually happen. And I think they put some science behind it. So I appreciate that. As a Star Trek fan who believes that there should be science and an explanation for things, I do kind of appreciate that. They've got that alien element, which is magic-y, but it's alien. So I'll forgive it because we don't understand that thing yet. But I have to rave about it. Right now, I have it in the nines, which says a lot about the show. It says a lot about the acting, a lot about everything. It is so shockingly good. If you haven't watched it, I recommend it. It's The Expanse on Amazon. Go ahead. Drop what you're doing right now, unless you're driving, and watch it. Watch the first episode. I believe you will be hooked from the start. It's, you know, Amazon's done some good stuff. I've been surprised when they announced that they were going to do a show, like when they were going to have a whole department for movies and TV shows. I was like, Amazon, come on, you're for people to shop and buy stuff on. I was wrong. Yeah, they do some turds, but they've got a lot of good stuff on their platform, and if I had to cancel one of them, it would not be Amazon. Anyway, stay tuned. More of the Nerd Show coming up after this. From the Yellow Fiber Studios, 103.1 and 1310 KFK, this is The Nerd Show with Micah Kilpatrick all by his lonesome. I gotta say, I'm liking these new digs. This is not the first Nerd Show from the new digs, but I am liking them. We are no longer at the 820 in downtown Greeley, no longer on the corner of Knight Street and 11th Avenue. We are at 3780 West 10th Street. Here in Greeley, new building to us, and it is quite lovely. All the work that Damon Sasso has done for this, all the sacrifices that all the staff has done, because everybody has worked really hard to get this place going. Boy, it's been quite a sacrifice for everybody, and the sacrifice is over. We're in this new place. It's lovely. Everybody loves it. My office is bigger. I have to say, my office is bigger. I'm happy about that. I don't have to step over things because I am a bit of a pack rat. Not so much anymore. Trying to take care of that. But I am a bit of a pack rat, and I throw stuff all over the place. So far, it's been a couple of weeks, and my office is not a mess. So I have to say, knock on wood, I am getting better. I got a chance to go to Denver Fanex this last week with Nick Kenny, and we ran into Darth Monger. We did not travel at the same time. What I like about Denver Fanex is the people, I think. The different types of human beings you see. I'm not into the anime the manga, that stuff. But you see, like, so many different people, like, who are into that. I saw people wearing costumes for that. I saw people wearing their favorite Star Wars costumes. I saw people wearing costumes of franchises I was not familiar with. And I saw a guy wearing a really cool Spawn costume. I had to give it up to him for it. It's kind of interesting. I also, by the way, saw a bunch of Nuggets fans, which I hadn't seen the year before. Saw a few Broncos fans, but more so a lot of Nuggets fans, who I didn't see any Nuggets fans last year, saw them this year. So congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. But you got more representation at Denver FanX. But it kind of shows that you can be a fan of sports and a nerd at the same time, because I saw a guy wearing, like, nerdy stuff, and he had a Nuggets hat on. So it's a myth. I hated that stereotype that you can't like sports and like nerdy stuff, because you do know that sports in Las Vegas is run by nerds. Like, those guys are absolute nerds. You know those guys, they watch sports all the time, but they live math. You know, they have Star Trek running around in their brain. They're nerds. Anyway, lots of really cool booths. There was a Lego booth, just a huge Lego booth with a bunch of people who built, like, little Lego worlds. I'm jealous. I don't have that kind of talent. I wish I did, because I love Legos. But, boy, if you missed Denver FanX, you missed that. I didn't see any of the celebrities. But I heard a lot of good things about Giancarlo Esposito. I heard was there. Didn't get a chance to meet him. The members of Star Trek The Next Generation were there. Didn't get a chance to meet them. Saturday was busy for me. Busier than last year. This has been a busy year. But, I was excited to go again. And I was not disappointed. Not disappointed. Once again, a lot of people selling comics, a lot of people selling and signing their own comics. So we might have one or two guests on later on this year. It's funny. It's funny the type of, I call them life forms, but it's funny the type of life forms you see there. I saw an entire family that I saw the last year, and I saw them this year. Same people dressed up as the Boys characters. Last year, I saw there were two A-Trains. So there was the A-Train where he was trying to be more involved in the community. But, you know, it was all for himself and not for the community. And then another A-Train where he was, you know, just the regular A-Train in the A-Train uniform. Creative. I don't know if they had that made for them or if they made them themselves, but they went all out. I also saw a Logan, so a Wolverine, only it was Logan, and it appeared to have, like, another movie. So it appeared to be like a combination of two Logans, like a Logan and then the actor that played him from a different movie, and I don't remember what it is. It's one of those singing movies. I think it was the one with Zendaya in it. So that's pretty creative. A lot of good stuff there. I got this. I don't drink a lot, but I found this Live Long and Pilsner cup. I had to buy it for Brew Talk Tuesdays at 5. I had to buy it, and I wanted to display it in the kitchen, so every time the Brew Talk guys come in, they see Live Long and Pilsner. They see a little bit of Star Trek. And Darth Monger, by the way, is on that show. Just a great experience at Denver FanX. Denver FanX is not too big. I think Denver FanX is probably just right. You get some good celebrities there. You get some good speaking engagements there. And plus it has kind of that, I don't want to say small town feel, because Denver's not a small town. Denver's pretty big. But it's not San Diego Comic-Con, so it's not, like, huge. It feels very Colorado. That's a good way to put it. It feels very Colorado, so it's not out of control. It feels very controlled. The people there are nice. Like, you run into a bunch of people. I haven't had, like, a bad experience. Some guy lost his bag, and, you know, someone else found it and gave it to him. Like, that's courteous. That's what Coloradans should do for one another. Denver Fanex, it's going to be probably about the same time next year, so I'm pretty excited to go back for my third time. I didn't get a chance to go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation auction like I did last year. I picked up some really cool Star Trek stuff for actually cheaper than I was prepared to spend. So that was kind of cool. It was a very Star Wars-centric room because I think most of the prizes, most of the auction items were Star Wars items. So I was one of the few Star Trek fans. But the Make-A-Wish Foundation is an incredible foundation. And if you have some leftover money, some money burning a hole in your pocket, and you've already saved up, why don't you consider giving to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, granting wishes for kids with horrible, horrible diseases. Anyway, you've been listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Live long and prosper. You stay nerdy.